Glad you made it quick, Mina said, nodding to me. Now get your netting and let's go. On it, I said, collecting my knitting balls. It served us well, seeing as how nothing had snuck in to kill us in our sleep. You find anything? The path the Alliance has us going down is shorter, but it strikes me as being a bit more dangerous, she said, tapping her band twice, the sign of sending a message. Message request from Mina John, Annabelle said. I nodded my consent to have the message shown to me. A map appeared in my line of sight. Notes that Mina had made showing a better path were scribbled across it. Beside the map was a message. What I have to say here isn't to be spoken aloud. The pathway of the Alliance has us going down is rife with trouble, none of which I can't handle. There are some pretty intense closed-in spaces along the way. That's to be expected from caves, but I'm afraid Jill doesn't work too well with them. She'd slow us down, even on a shorter path. She'll try to be a hero if we bring this up to her. She'll assure us she can handle it, and she'll be convincing. I know her, though. We're better off taking the long way around if it means we don't have to deal with her claustrophobia. I need you to back me up on this. I looked up at Mina and had a couple of thoughts at once. I had already watched Jill nearly come apart when our helmets came off, and now I was learning she had a crippling fear of enclosed spaces. These sort of things were what made weak Marines. That, coupled with Claire's problems with authority, led me to a strange conclusion. Mina had picked these girls herself, handpicked them to be part of a permanent team. Why would she choose two Marines with such obvious problems, with such inopportune limitations? Not that any of that mattered. Mina asked me for something, and by God, I was going to oblige. This was her team, and if she thought a new route was for the best, I was going to go along with it. See what I mean? She asked, blinking at me. Absolutely, I said, nodding firmly. Your path is obviously the better choice. Have you submitted it for approval?
I haven't. I was hoping that we could
just do it and deal with the consequences later, I shrugged.
Sort of,
she answered, her voice a little lighter as she heard my obvious indifference.
That all right with you?
All right, I smiled. I'd prefer it. I moved closer to them, glancing at Claire one more time to see if her expression had softened even a little. It hadn't. If anything, she seemed more upset with me. Though if what she had said to me a few hours ago was any indicator, that might have been a mask she was hiding behind. Or maybe she had just wanted to use me to get her jollies, and that whole spiel about kissing a poster of me every night before bed was just a game to get into my pants. If so, seemed like a waste. I wasn't the kind of egomaniacal dickbag who needed the woman he bedded to fawn over him. In fact, most of the time that sort of thing turned me off. It was just that, with a body like hers, she didn't need to lie to get me on my back. And in this instance, I certainly didn't mind being used as a piece of meat. Annabelle, I said, turning my gaze from Claire and back out into the dark of the cavern we'd have to go out into. Analyze the map you just received from Mina and tell me what is, probability-wise, the best type of vision we should use.
Affirmative, she said. Analyzing.
A few seconds went by before she spoke again.
Sonic vision with a thermal overlay is probably best.
Then do it.
Affirmative, Lieutenant Ryder.
You should be aware, though, she continued, that monitoring suggests a plethora of activity within this cave. A plethora? My eyes narrowed as I thought about the bugs we'd undoubtedly come across as we made our way to the eggs. We had hoped that the cave might be emptier, maybe one or two mother guardians that we could take out easily. I guess that wasn't the case. Well, isn't that a son of a bitch?
I suppose,
Annabelle answered as though my question wasn't rhetorical.
I suppose it is, in fact, a son of a bitch. We have our work cut out for us, don't we?
Mina asked, undoubtedly reading my expression. We do, I admitted, realizing there was no need for bullshit around her. She wouldn't believe it anyway.
Good.
Extending her arm, the pulse laser she bought with her complimentary upgrade earlier appeared in a flash of blue. She readied it and pressed it up against her shoulder, staring at me with dark eyes that were as intense as they were driven, and as driven as they were beautiful. I wouldn't have it any other way. 25. Mina's path, unbeknownst to the Alliance, took us down as opposed to up. The corridor that branched out of the cave we just rested in went two different ways as it curved away from the surface. The first way, the one the Alliance ordered and expected us to follow, took us up into the mountain. I had to imagine this would bring us to the top of the hill, the place we were supposed to go after we took a pit stop at the nesting room where the Akbarian egg bugs were being incubated. We didn't go up, though. To deal with Jill's claustrophobia and because Mina said so, we went down into a darker area of the cave tunnels. It might have seemed contrary to the point, but it would stop us from having to deal with the tighter tunnels and cramped rooms that our map showed existed above. The map showed us reaching the nesting room at roughly the same time, and from there, our bands would connect back to the Alliance, updating and transmitting all of our data to them. They'd probably be upset, but it would be finished. And it was unlikely that they would scold either Mina or me because of a job well done, even if it wasn't done exactly the way they saw fit. Like before, the four of us formed a sort of horizontal line walking through the wide corridors. Mina and I were in the middle with Jill and Claire on either side of us. I'd done it because Mina had followed Alliance regulations and told me to do it. But it always aggravated me when the most senior officers took interior positions in a battle line. Sure, they were the safer positions and we were supposed to have earned them. That didn't change the fact that, because of our experience with all this, we were the least likely to die. It didn't have much to do with positioning. In fact, as far as I could tell, all this mandatory positioning did was to put the weakest of us in the most vulnerable places. Then again, I wasn't the Alliance, and I didn't make the rules. I thought about switching it out, about inverting things so the younger women were on the inside. I mean, hell, we were already screwing with what was expected of us. But I thought better of it. Mina was in charge here, not me. She'd made that very clear as we'd gone on about this mission. If she wanted things changed, she would have changed them. She didn't, so neither would I. My vision shifted to a mixture of thermal and sonic as we continued, and I realized my eyesight must have gotten down to below 30% efficiency. Thank you, Annabelle, I muttered as I looked to Mina and then to the rest of the squad. Their eyes were also pulsing with a bit of energy, telling me their preferred visual modes had kicked into gear too.
Mina,
Jill said from her position, furthest from me.
We're about to come upon a pretty steep slope 250 feet ahead. I suggest we turn on our grappling gear, at least for our feet.
I looked over at her. The woman was little more than a shapely configuration of red, orange, and blue echoes shouting out from the sounds she created. Still, I thought I could tell she was smiling. She had been eager to man the map, to play the navigator, and the role suited her.
I agree, Mina said calmly. Everyone turn on grappling gear.
I nodded and told Annabelle to go ahead and accommodate Mina's command. Grappling gear was something like the tow haul package on one of the trucks you'd see darting along the back roads where I grew up. In addition to cleats, spikes, anchors, grips on our boots, and a stronger gravity field intended to slow our descent, it also contained lines, ropes, and hooks in case we fell uncontrollably.
Can't do it,
Claire said from beside me.
What?
Mina stopped in her tracks, leaning around me to get in Claire's face.
Do not tell me that what I'm thinking is accurate.
She shoved me to the side, and I let her do it, swapping places with her.
You knew we were coming to a bug moon. You knew there was a chance the terrain would be dangerous. Grappling gear was in the guidelines package I sent to both of you before we embarked. That's why I bought it,
Jill added, a bit of triumph in her voice.
Shut up, kiss-ass, Claire said, glaring back at Mina. I wanted to save my coin. You know I have issues at home. You know I need to-
Your mother's health is not of any importance right now, Mina answered gruffly. Giving her what you can is commendable, but you won't be able to continue helping her if you get yourself killed. Claire blinked, looking from Mina to me and back again. I might have been projecting, but I thought I could sense a little uncomfortable tension passing between us. Perhaps she didn't like me knowing her mother was sick. Perhaps that was part of the mask she liked to wear.
I'll buy it now, she lamented, nodding in consent. The hell you will, Mina said, bristling.
I knew why Claire wouldn't be able to grab the grappling gear, but it wasn't my place to impart that sort of wisdom on her. Besides, Mina seemed more than capable of doing that herself.
It's a manual upgrade. Too big to be downloaded. It has to be done in the halls, which is another piece of information you'd have picked up if you had bothered to read the damned guidelines package.
Claire let out a deep sigh.
I'm sorry. I messed up. How many times, Claire? How many times do we have this conversation?
Mina was about to pull her own face off from the looks of it.
When I brought you onto this team, I told you my philosophy. I told you how I felt about hoarding coin and how it was likely to get you killed. You swore to me that you understood that it wouldn't be a problem. You gave me your word. Is your word garbage, Claire?
She can ride with me, I said, cutting through the argument. It wasn't that I wanted to shield Claire from the ripping Mina was giving her. Much to the contrary. I thought hearing it would do her good. It was just that enough was enough, and I didn't see any need in wasting time on a point that had already been made. Claire knew she screwed up. That was all she could ask for at this point.
I'll go with Mina,
Claire shot back, her eyes darting over at me.
You absolutely will not, Mina said. There's not enough weight differential for that. If you hung on to me, it would only serve to nullify my grappling gear altogether. You need someone bigger to tag along with. Mark is the only person who fits that bill. Besides, unless I'm mistaken, he still has working thrusters. If things go to hell, you can use them to slow his descent even more.
But listen, Mina barked, cutting Claire off immediately. You did this to yourself, so you can either hang on to Lieutenant Ryder, if he'll still have you, or you can go back up to the mouth of the cave and wait for further instructions there. At this point, I couldn't give a rat's ass. Claire's jaw set, and her body tensed.
I'll ride with him. If he'll still have you after that showing, Mina reminded her, looking from Claire to me and back again. Why don't you ask him?
Claire huffed loudly and turned to me.
Will you?
She bit her lower lip again, a mess of reds, orange, and blue flickers like Jill had been.
Will you still have me?
I couldn't help but think about a few hours ago. About me lying on top of her, she moaned with pleasure. About me having her 3 times. And about how much she seemed to enjoy it. Of course, I said, nodding firmly and keeping my eyes pinned to her.
Thank you,
Claire said in a clipped whisper.
Good, Mina said. Let's get going.
Claire, get close to him. We shifted back into our old position and began walking toward the slope, with Jill giving us proximity updates with each passing 50-yard interval. Claire grabbed my arm as we reached the cliff. No, I said, shaking my head. That won't work. If your weight is this far removed from me, there's no way I'll be able to stop you from falling. I need you to climb on my back.
You've got to be kidding, she scoffed.
I don't kid. I knelt down for her to get on my back. I felt her arms clasped together around my neck, felt her breath on my ear, and felt her legs wrap around my torso. The familiar feel of her body pressed against mine was almost enough to make me forget where we were. Almost. Besides, he didn't mind getting close last night. Unless I'm completely off base with both emotional reading and math, you seem to enjoy yourself at least 4 times.
That's beside the point.
Claire glanced toward Mina and Jill, but the other two women had moved ahead, giving us a few feet of relative privacy.
Last night was fun, but this is work.
Did it look like I was offering you a ring? I hoisted myself to my feet and took a tentative step, allowing my suit to compensate for the added weight. Mina and Jill started down the slope, sliding off into the darkness. I walked to the edge of the cliff and started downward, feeling the pull of gravity as the ground went sideways under me. We're both adults. Last night was fun. There's no harm in admitting it. You don't have to avoid me like the plague, and you sure as hell don't have to pretend to hate me, especially after we both know it isn't true. She was undoubtedly about to respond, but her words were cut off as the ground beneath me turned into a miniature rock slide, causing me to stumble. Just like they were supposed to, the anchors in my suit shot out, only instead of sinking into the stone, the damn things bounced off with a spray of sparks. Worse, the impact threw me even more off balance, making it such that if I fired my thrusters, I'd rocket into the roof with enough force to turn Claire into a bag full of raspberry jam. Annabelle, fire them again. Use a heated borbit, I said, my mind racing for something that might undo my forward momentum as Claire's grip on my body cinched down. The anchors fired once more, and this time they sank into the rock beneath my feet with a blast of superheated plasma that sent bits of slag in every direction. Only that was a new problem in itself. The slagged rock didn't have anything to anchor to. Normally that wouldn't be a problem, but the gear was designed for my weight, not mine and Claire's. As the clamps on the anchor tried to bore into the superheated rock, our combined weight ripped the anchors free. I slammed against the slope, tumbling up and down, over and over with Claire on my back, right past Mina's and Jill's red and orange forms above me. And as they grew smaller and smaller, we slammed against a hard floor. Luckily, I was on the bottom. Otherwise, I might have crushed Claire. Are you all right? I asked, looking up at her.
Fine,
she choked out, pushing herself off me.
Oh my God,
she said, her voice cracking.
Mark? What the hell is this?
I sat up, looking around and finding 1,000 dots of red and orange surrounding me. Annabelle, get my vision back to normal and give me some lights. She did so, and I saw myself at the end of a flat expanse. The floor was covered in hundreds and hundreds of bugs I had never seen before, which, given the fact that the Alliance taught us about every sort of bug imaginable, shouldn't have been possible. My heart raced as I stood, my body tensing and my throat drying out. I don't know, Claire, I said, unable to believe what I was saying. I honestly don't know. 26. I stood, looking around at the bugs surrounding us. They were small but near infinite in number. Strips of shiny black flesh with glowing red stripes across their backs. They reminded me of leeches in both size, shape, and sheer gross-out factor. I had never been a fan of any sort of bug. To be fair, not many people were after crunchy aliens with exoskeletons and antennae descended from the heavens with the evil intent of making your planet their own. Now it was kind of hard for anyone to even look at cockroaches the same way. Still, no bug ever quite affected me the same way the leech did. It was stupid, I knew that. Heck, leeches aren't even insects. They didn't have exoskeletons or even bones for that matter. That said, something about leeches just got to me, though, and I knew why. When I was a kid, my brother and I went swimming in a lake out in the woods in our family's back 40. Our mother told us not to do it, but we were out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't like we were getting to the town pool anytime soon. So we decided to have a little fun. To this day, I can remember the look on my brother's face when I emerged from that water the first time. Reading his horror, I looked down at myself to find I had become a buffet for leeches. I panicked as I looked down at the dozens and dozens of little buggers all over my chest, arms, and legs, feasting on the blood that flowed right under my skin. In my younger days as a Marine, I used to thank God or my lucky stars or whatever there was out there that there were no Akbarian leeches for me to contend with. After all, Akbarians were insects and leeches were anything but insects. There was no way I'd ever encounter monster leeches. Right? I'd spoken too soon. Damn it, I muttered. I wasn't going to react the way Jill had when her helmets came off, but that didn't mean I didn't need just a second to deal with this new reality. Are you guys okay? Mina skidded to the bottom of the cliff with Jill settling beside her. Why is your... Her voice trailed off as her eyes scanned what we were now standing in. Mother of God, she said in a whisper. What the hell are those? Not anything I've ever seen before, I admitted, looking from the bugs to her. Mina's eyes went back to normal. Shrugging off the augmented vision and instead relying on the light pouring from my suit, Annabelle knew what she was doing. Instead of a bright, abrasive light that shot out in one direction, she gave the suit a softer and more even illumination. I was a walking nightlight for the most part, and I was acting as a beacon in a sea of mysterious dangers. Mina blinked at me, and in our wordless exchange of looks, we both recognized how dangerous the situation was. If we had never seen bugs like this before, it meant the Alliance didn't know about them. They had to be unaware of the leech's existence. We'd have to learn the hard way, and that made them more dangerous than anything we'd faced up to this point. There's no protocol for this. Mina sighed as audibly as she felt she could afford. We're going to have to connect with the Alliance for further instructions. We all knew what that meant. We weren't supposed to be down here. We had broken Alliance rules, and because of this, we weren't even going to have a completed mission to fall back on when they found out. Of course, we all knew we had to do it, regardless. Our own hides weren't more important than this. Whatever these were, we were going to be the last Marines in history to ever be surprised by them. If we needed to get chewed out by the Alliance to make that a reality, so be it. You want to tell them, or should I? I asked, looking at Mina with a bit of resignation. This is my mission. I'll do it, she said, with the usual unsaid, and deal with the consequences caveat added in there. Fair enough. I folded my arms over my chest as Mina ordered her suit to initiate a direct line of communication to the Alliance, a move that would immediately update our location and diagnostic information in their databases. Yes, ma'am, Mina said after she explained our situation to whoever was on the other end. Probably Della. I understand that, ma'am. Her voice was terse and unapologetic, though not entirely without humility. No, ma'am. I made an executive decision. This was my call, and I made it. She nodded as our bands updated with a new objective. Then her call ended, and she looked back up at us. They want a specimen, she said flatly. Of course they do, I shook my head. We don't know anything about these things. For all we know, they could be toxic to the touch. They could be the most dangerous creatures in the entire fucking universe. Don't be ridiculous, Jill said, walking toward us with less precautionary tactics than she should have been showing. They're tiny little things, she chuckled. God, they're almost cute. A blossom of worry sprouted in my chest. She should have known better. You like them tiny, huh? Claire asked, grinning at the purple-haired woman. Jill's face flushed and her eyes rolled into the back of her head. Stop being stupid. I'm just saying that after dealing with sandworms and flyers and all of that, these are nothing. Size doesn't matter. Mina's exclamation almost caused me to scoff out loud.
The first thing that nearly killed me was a baby Akbarian who was barely bigger than the palm of my hand. I let my guard down, thought it was cute, thought it couldn't hurt me. It nearly ripped my throat out, though, and I never forgot it. You shouldn't either. She nodded firmly. We don't know anything about this thing. And you're rushing toward it with open hands and your head in the clouds. That won't do any of us any favors. I stared at the two women. It seemed strange to me that Jill, who had reacted so poorly to us losing our helmets, who was the reason we had to forego the approved pathway, would need to be reprimanded for acting too recklessly. Still, if life taught me anything, it was never to underestimate a woman. They could be a million things all wrapped up in a single package. Hell, some women could even be a million things all at the same time. We go about this carefully, Mina explained. And we go slowly because, God forbid, these things go crazy on us. It looks to me like they outnumber us about 1,000 to 1. She had a point. If these leeches were anything other than completely dormant or completely harmless, we were screwed. We needed to be cautious, and we needed to be lucky. Annabelle, I said, get me my sampling kit.
Affirmative,
the woman in my suit answered.
Absolutely not.
Mina heard my words and turned to me.
This is my mission. I'll get the sample.
We've been over this, I muttered, trying to keep my voice down and hoping that sound wasn't a trigger for these things. You need to stay as safe as possible for the team.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, the last time we went over this, you nearly got yourself ingested by a sandworm,
Mina scoffed. Be that as it may, nothing has changed. You need to let me take these chances. I'm the one who
breaks protocol.
Jill finished for me as she grabbed the glass beaker that appeared in my hands. Give that back, I said in my best pissed off vice principal voice.
Both of you know how this goes, she explained. It's the same reason we're the ones on the outside of the group. The same reason why we're always the lookouts.
She shrugged.
Junior officers get the short end of the stick. That's the way it works. You don't take the chances, either of you.
She looked back and forth between the two of us.
So if you don't mind, could both of you please pull yourselves off your respective crosses and let's all do our job?
I hadn't heard Jill speak like this before. Usually it was Claire who was more of a loudmouth. But maybe that was the point. Maybe Jill had seen the sort of respect that earned Claire before we took the break up here. Maybe she wanted the same kind of respect. I couldn't get mad at her for that.
Be careful, Mina said, conceding to the purple-haired girl. Yes, ma'am, she answered,
turning and moving toward the leech pit with more caution than she had showed before. I watched the shape of her as she knelt down near the creatures. With lithe fingers, she plucked one of the things up and dropped it into the tube. Pressing the top, she closed the thing instantly. Turning back to us, she smiled and tossed the thing through the air toward me. Damn it, Jill, I said, snatching the tube out of the air. Don't play around with artifacts.
It's not an artifact until we get it back to the Alliance.
She walked toward us.
Until then, it's just a thing. Besides, she laughed, everything is fine.
She shook her head.
You see, everything turned out just fine.
Just then, as though they could not only hear Jill's words, but the relief that lay beneath them, a loud sound emitted from not one, but all the thousands of leech creatures on the cave floors. It was a deafening, horrible noise. An alarm. We had been found out. 27. The cry of the screeching leeches rang through the cave as the creatures all moved in tandem toward us. Worry rang through me as well. This was louder than anything I'd ever heard before. The noise these leeches were making nearly sent me to my knees. My hands went up to my ears, cuffing them as pain rang through me. Dampeners, I screamed, trying to speak over the ringing and failing miserably.
Annabelle, get me dampeners. I knew I didn't need to actually get my suit to hear me for her to oblige my command. She was connected to me through a neurological pathway and, as such, heard my plea before it was even vocalized. Hopefully the others were as quick to turn theirs on as I was. Otherwise, I was worried that, assuming their heads didn't explode, they'd be in for some seriously permanent damage. As Annabelle put my wishes into effect, the noise from the leeches faded away into the background.
Unfortunately, due to the sheer volume of the attack, you'll be unable to hear any noises whatsoever until the decibel levels around you dwindle to a safer level.
What about my selective cancellation feature? I muttered in response.
It wasn't designed for this sort of assault.
Then why did I pay the extra 1,030 coins? I scoffed.
Because you believed it to be a...
That was a rhetorical question, I said, turning to Mina and the others. Unsurprisingly, Mina was standing straight and tall, a sign that, like me, she had enacted her dampeners and was unfazed by the noise emitting everywhere around us. Jill was already on her knees, and Claire didn't look far behind. Training taught us to deal with the strongest of our comrades first. There was little point in exhausting our resources on the weakest, given the already low chance of their survival. Best to pull out the weeds and let the fire have them, to use a phrase my mother always used to when I was a kid on the farm. We hadn't been going by any protocol lately, and truth be told, I always hated that particular part of the rules anyhow. Everyone was weak around some things, even the strongest of us. By that definition, we were all one unfortunate incident away from death. If that was the case, if that was the world we had decided we wanted to live in, then we might as well let the bugs have it. At least that was my thought on the matter. I rushed toward Jill, picking her up with a quick, hard pull. Her face looked pained, and her face had paled noticeably. This was affecting her on a different level. This noise was making her sick somehow. I made eye contact with her, holding her face in my hands long enough to keep it steady. Widening my eyes, I freed one hand, pointed to my ear, and mouthed the word dampeners. While that wasn't something most people mouthed on a regular basis, I hoped she'd understand. What was more, I hoped she had the upgrade. Otherwise, she was fucked. Her eyes narrowed at me and then widened as she seemingly took in my suggestion. A second and a half later, her body and face had relaxed. Letting go of Jill, who mouthed her thanks at me, I turned my attention to Claire. The woman I had bedded earlier was now on her back, writhing in pain with her skin now sickly pale too. Did the noise these things make spread disease? If so, they might be the most threatening species I had ever come in contact with. Mina was kneeling over her. Looking up at me, Mina shook her head, letting me know that Claire had realized my worst fear in this situation and was completely unprepared. Stupid woman. She didn't seem to have anything. Now it was going to cost the girl her life. Or was it? From beside me, I saw Jill's helmet reappear in her hand. She knelt down next to Claire as a multi-tool shimmered into existence in her other hand. She put up one finger, all she had free, three times, indicating that what she was going to do would take roughly 3 minutes. Mina nodded in response, and Jill went to work, her purple hair hanging down over her eyes as she dug the tool into the helmet. I had no idea what she was doing or even what she was capable of. I remembered Mina telling me something about Jill being their resident tech whiz, but as it was, I couldn't imagine how that would help things. After all, I knew as much about tech as I did about baking, which was to say, don't come to me with either a broken carburetor or plans for a bundt cake. Either way, you'll come away empty-handed. Still, I knew that whatever the purple-haired woman was up to had the approval of Mina, and that meant it had to be for our good.
Lieutenant Ryder,
Annabelle, the only voice I could hear with these damn dampeners on, sounded in my head.
External tracking shows 5 unidentified creatures headed this way. ETA is 3 minutes.
All right, I answered, nodding and looking at Jill and then Claire, still writhing in pain on the floor.
Jill had said that it would take her 3 minutes to do whatever the hell she was doing with the helmet, which would put us on track to run right into the fray with these five creatures. Jill was busy. Claire was incapacitated. And Mina was trying to make sure the poor woman didn't rip her own face off from the pain. It would be up to me to fend them off. To that end, I needed to know as much info about the threat as possible. I saw little need in being surprised the way we were with the leeches. "Scan them, Annabelle," I said. "And get me my pulse laser." The gun appeared in my hand, and as it did, Mina's eyes darted toward me. Arming myself had definitely caught the woman's attention. I looked over to her and was about to send her a message, telling her that Annabelle had surveyed a handful of bugs for me to take care of. Before I could do that, though, Annabelle returned to the inside of my head with brand new information that stopped me in my tracks.
"Lieutenant Ryder,"
Annabelle said quickly, "I'm afraid I must inform you that the creatures headed your way have all the attributes of elite Akbarians." "What?" I gasped, my nuts jumping back up into my body. "Are you sure?" "Scans show a 97% likelihood of elite Akbarians," Annabelle confirmed, and just like that, things went from bad to unimaginably worse. If flyers kept civilians up at night, and sandworms gave officers nightmares, elite bugs made those other things wet their pants with fear. So dangerous and merciless that most of the people I knew didn't even like to admit their existence, much less talk about them. Elite bugs were so similar to a goddamn person, they gave me the shakes. Humanoid in nature. They moved the way we did, fought the way we did, and some might say, thought the way we did. Where all other Akbarians lived, for the most part, the way bugs did on Earth, elite bugs wore armor, wielded weaponry, and attacked the way an army of humans might. Only stronger, tougher, and better. They were stronger than all but the largest of the Akbarians, in addition to having all the smarts we humans like to attribute to ourselves. Five elite bugs were on their way to us. Five killing machines we had no way of fighting off. We needed to run, or we were going to die. And we had almost no time to get away. "Send a message to Mina," I said frantically, clutching onto my pulse laser. "Fucking elites, Mina. They're fucking elites, and they're on their way here."
"Should I read that back?"
Annabelle asked, her voice the sort of calm that only something that didn't possess pain receptors could be at a moment like this. "Just fucking send it," I snarled, my eyes moving to the opening at the end of this expanse, the point where the elites would undoubtedly come from.
"Transmission sent,"
Annabelle reported, but I was too busy staring at Mina to hear her. The invincible Mina John's face dropped as her eyes bugged out so far, I was afraid they would pop out of her head. Then she stood, a solemn look on her face. Just like that, the leeches stopped shrieking. After all, this was an alarm. Now that they had alerted their protectors, there was no need to continue. In an instant, the dampener shut off, and Jill looked up confused.
"I was almost finished,"
she lamented, standing and moving over to Claire.
"This was going to act as a dampener might. Is she okay?"
"If she is, it's not for long," I said, glad to be able to hear someone else again. "Elites are coming. How long now, Annabelle?"
37 seconds, she answered. "I'm afraid they're moving quicker than earlier estimates accounted for."
"Of course they are," I said, turning to the others. "Let me pick her up." I moved toward Claire, intending to grab her. "We need to get back up that hill. We don't have time to..." As though it could hear my thoughts and wish to screw with them, the hill itself moved, straightening into a sheer vertical wall. "What the hell?" I muttered, staring at it in disbelief.
"Does this normally happen?"
Jill asked as I grabbed Claire and slung her over my shoulder. Sheer wall or not, there was only one way out, and that was straight up.
"Can this even happen?"
"I didn't think so," I admitted. "But apparently, I'm wrong. Come on, we need to find another way out. If we don't start running, they're going to find us.
A roar sounded from off in the distance, and from the darkness, 5 elite bugs, wearing power armor a lot better looking than mine, and holding glowing energy swords, spears, and battle axes, came rushing toward us from the darkness.
Only 5?
I asked, dropping Claren to the ground and taking a step forward.
Stupid bugs. You should have brought more.
28. The elites poured in, 2 at a time in a line with 1 at the head. It was strange. There they were, bugs each and every one. Yet they were every bit the squad that we were, the squad that I had. Beneath the armor built from the very Elebrium this goddamn war had started over, the elites still had exoskeletons. Big black eyes dotted a bulbous angular head, and a pair of antennae shot straight up before arcing forward. They didn't speak our language as far as we knew. Of course, up until tonight, we didn't know any of them existed on this moon either. Naturally, my HUD painted nameplates over each of them, kindly informing me that they were exactly what I thought. Elite Akbarian soldier. There was also a big flashing red hazard sign next to each one, as well as the kindly warning that we should immediately flee. However, if we were lucky enough to kill them, we would earn a special alliance dispensation of 50,000 coins. Each. Like that was gonna happen. Get behind me, I said, my eyes trained on the incoming swarm and my muscles tense with anger, frustration, and fury. Still, there was something else behind it. A familiarity that stoked a fire that, in one way or another, always burned in my chest. I was a warrior, after all. I had been trained to fight. People had told me it was what I was born for, what God himself created me to do. In the end, it didn't matter, because in addition to the reasonable and productive fear pulsating through my veins, there was something else. Something I wouldn't admit to even my closest friends, if I had any that was. The deep down, know it when you're lying awake at night, truth of the matter was, I like this. I like the challenge. I like the fight. I liked the blood. God help me, I liked the killing. All I wanted at this very moment was to be Mark Ryder. The best damn Marine anyone had ever heard of. But more than that, I wanted to be these elites' worst nightmare. Are you out of your damn mind? Mina asked from behind me. I could hear a streak of panic in her voice, which was, of course, tempered with wisdom. Those are 5 elites. We'll never make it out of this alive. We need to get out of here. We need to get up this wall. I stared at the bugs rushing toward us with weapons at the ready, babbling in some ridiculous bug speak, a dialect that was so rare even Annabelle couldn't translate it. If we head up that wall, they'll kill us before we get off the ground, I answered. We fight. It's what we do. Not all of us. Mina swallowed hard. You have thrusters. You can fly up. We'll hold them off. Hell no. The mere suggestion that I would run aggravated me. You have the specimen on you, Mina reminded me as the bugs neared me, neared us. It has to be delivered to the Alliance. It's important. Someone must survive this, and right now, you're the only one who can. You need to get up that wall. That's an order.
Like you said, I growled. I'm not in your squad. So with all due respect, Mina, fuck your order.
I cleared my throat as my heart raced. I had been trained not to fire until I could see the tips of their antenna, until I was sure I wouldn't miss. There were too many of them to miss this time, though. Besides, I was Mark Ryder. I didn't miss. My finger pressed hard against the trigger. My pulse laser pulsated in my hand as the beams flew from the barrel, spraying across the expanse. They could say what they wanted about New Age tech, about psionic bows, mental overrides, and nanite dispensers. When it came down to it, with everything being everything, there was just no replacement for a good old-fashioned laser that shot huge, high-energy beams that could punch a hole in the side of a goddamn spaceship. Red-hot lasers lit up the darkness. The better to see what you're doing, and, you know, watch the bugs die. Energy poured out of my gun in an eye blink as I moved it back and forth. I was barely aiming. Everything that was in front of me basically wanted me dead or to do me harm, so I didn't give a shit which one of them I hit. As it turned out, they didn't much care either. Elites had harder exoskeletons than other bugs. Add to that the ridiculously effective armor they wore, and even my barrage of lasers wasn't doing much good. As the beams bounced off them to reflect into the cave walls, the elites did little more than stumble backward a bit. I bet it hadn't even hurt them. "That's not going to work, Mark," Mina said from beside me. "I know you have a head with roughly the same density as a cement block, so I'll say this plainly, hoping you might understand. If you stay here, all of us die. You want to run up that wall, I'll do my best to cover you, but I'm not going anywhere," I said through gritted teeth, watching the elite shake off my salvo and rush toward us again. Part of me was glad for it. Elites didn't use blasters or plasma. No, they wanted to get all up in your guts with their melee weapons and claws to rip you limb from limb. It was strangely comforting, knowing they wouldn't try to blow us away unless we ran. "Then we'll all die for nothing," she said. "You're the only one who can get out of here, and the Alliance needs to know what we're up against. They need to get that sample. Hell, for all we know, it could change the course of the war." "We both know that's not going to happen," I scoffed. "Not if you don't get it to them, it's not," she huffed. Then, screaming, she added, "Mark, you can't kill these things. No one alive could fight their way through more than one elite." "Mina John," I said, letting my gun retract back into my suit. I decided to go with something a bit more primal. "You aren't giving me near enough credit." I extended my right arm. "Annabelle, give me my fucking warhammer. And spike it with something awesome." "Do you have any preferences?" she asked me directly into my head. "Surprise me." "Oh, good," my suit responded. "I love it when we do that." "Mark, listen to me," Mina said, her voice tinged with desperation. It wasn't that she thought she was going to die. At least that wasn't what it sounded like to me. She was a Marine. She knew death was just a bad day away. No, she had the same fear that I did. The same fear all good Marines had. She didn't want to die for nothing. Luckily for her, I wasn't about to let that happen. "Cover yourselves," I responded, biting my lip. "Annabelle, thrusters on. I'm about to get my smash on." My feet lit up, throwing me into the air and pushing me toward my enemies. They weren't like the other bugs. The elites were trained the same way we were. They were informed with the same knowledge we had. Though, because of their insanely long lifespans, they averaged a couple of 100 years of practice over on us. Not that it mattered. They were about to learn what it was like to come up against the best Earth had to offer. I scanned the group, looking for the weak link. Every squad had one, and I couldn't imagine bugs were too different. You could always tell who they were by the way they moved. A half a step behind everyone else, too afraid to be in front of the front lines, too unsure of themselves to ever want to land the first blow. It had always been my experience that if someone was unsure of themselves, there was a good reason for that. I found the bug in question quickly, moving just a bit slower than the rest, not enough to be noticed by anyone who wasn't looking for it. "Far left," I said to Annabelle. "Whatever you put into my hammer, I wanted to hit him first." I had a plan. Most people go for the big guns first, for the leaders. They live by that whole, you cut off a snake's head and the rest of the body falls away type mentality. I knew better. Mina wouldn't be half the Marine she was if she didn't surround herself with the best she could find.
Fighting is a dance, and like any other dance, there's a rhythm to it. You screw with that rhythm and everything falls apart. My thought had always been to knock stuff out of balance as quickly as possible, and to that end, I always went for the weakest warrior. They might not have been as integral as many of the others, but they were still useful, and what was more, they were easy pickings. I slid toward them in the air as they took sight of me. The one I was after, the frightened one, stayed back. That didn't surprise me, and what was more, I was ready for it. "Tether the warhammer to me, Annabelle," I said, trying to seem stoic and brave and not nearly as excited as I was.
"Affirmative," she answered. "Tethering complete."
I took a swan dive toward the first one, the obvious leader of the squad. It was the pragmatic move because it was what most people considered the necessary one. Head of the snake and all, they would be prepared for it. What they might not be prepared for, though, was me to completely juke this bastard out. I could practically smell the son of a bitch when I flung the hammer. I could see its antenna raise as it watched me. Obviously, it didn't expect me to let go of my weapon. That, however, was where the tethering came in. The leader raised its staff to block the hammer, but the joke was on it. I had angled my warhammer to go right over it and smash right into the scaredy cat. As the blunt end smashed into the bug's mouth, or the place where its mouth would be if it was human, the bastard crumpled. Then something strange happened. It lifted off the ground and started floating helplessly. "Annabelle," I said, a smile spreading across my face as I twirled upward and away from the sword stabs of the other elites. "Did you lace my warhammer with gravity manipulation, you beautiful, beautiful creature?"
"Affirmative, Lieutenant Ryder. I thought you would find it useful or, at the very least, amusing."
"You know me too well." The gravitech tether brought my hammer right back into my hand. It smacked against my palm as I flew toward the floating bug. He struck at me, though he obviously wasn't prepared for something like this, and his attack went wide. "You know what?" I said to Annabelle. "Let's ping-pong these fuckers."
"Searching database."
A second later, she added,
"Ping-pong found. Action initiated."
The warhammer flew from my hand without me even throwing it. It slammed against the floating elite and knocked him back toward the ground, his body moving quicker than it normally would thanks to the gravity manipulation. It slammed against another elite, pounding the bug into a crater it made with its body and then flying back up toward me like a, well, like a ping-pong ball.
"Would you like another go, Lieutenant Ryder?"
Annabelle asked as my hammer slapped against my palm again. "You know it, sweet thing," I said, and the warhammer flew from my hand again. "No." I grabbed it as the elite came back toward me. "I want to do it myself." Flying toward the helpless creature, I reared back and slammed the warhammer into the thing's chest. The blow dented his armor and sent him exactly where I wanted him to go. The bug slammed against another elite, knocking the bastard into another makeshift crater. I smiled as I watched it, realizing it had likely taken out more than a few leeches. Sadly, I didn't receive any immediate coins or commendations for what was likely the first kill of a new bug subspecies. I'd have to wait for the science guys to figure out their importance before they got a value. Still, that smile was nothing compared to the look Mina John must have had on her face. No Marine had ever taken out a single elite, eh? I had taken out two elites. Three, if you counted the one I was using as a living, breathing wrecking ball. Maybe they weren't dead, but they were going to be any moment now. I had them on the ropes, after all. I looked over in Mina's direction with the intention of sending her a smirk before I took them out. But then I saw something that completely gutted me. The other two elites had made their way to Mina and the others while I was busy, bypassing my assault and deciding not to help their fallen brethren. The Artemis squad hadn't fared nearly as well as me. Jill was on her back with one of the elite's boots on her throat. Claire had a sword at her temple, courtesy of the other elite. Mina had probably put up the best fight. She was bleeding, and her chest looked like it had practically been caved in as she lay against the far wall, trying to get to her feet and failing. The elites were looking up at me, and their silent message was clear. Surrender, or the girls would die. I thought about that for a second, about what Mina had said about all of us dying for nothing. But I knew she wasn't right. If the elites wanted us dead, the girls would already be dead. They wanted us to give up. Though I didn't know why, I knew I had to. I couldn't let these women die if I could help it, even if they wanted me to. After all, at the end of the day, as much as I wanted to kill all these bastards with my bare hands, I also didn't want to be responsible for the death of Mina, John, and her squad. So I flew down to the ground, warhammer in hand. Mark, run! Mina cried, collapsing back to the ground. Get the specimen to the Alliance! Sorry, Mina, I said, setting the warhammer on the ground as a show of cooperation before raising my hands. Let's get this over with. 29. You shouldn't have done that, Mina said, walking in front of me as the four of us were prodded into a straight line and marched through a corridor of maze-like tunnels. As it turned out, even the map given to us by the Alliance was wrong. It made me think they'd know nothing about this place or who we were up against. That made me uneasy. It left me to wonder if the Alliance had ever really known anything or if, like my worst fears, we were all just playthings for the bugs to stomp on whenever they got tired of us. We all knew the truth. In the back of our minds, in our guts, we knew there was only one reasonable way any of this could ever truly end. And I wasn't even talking about this mission or my life in general. I was a Marine. I was damn comfortable with the idea of dying on some space rock one day. Hell, part of me would have even been a little disappointed if it didn't happen. Though that didn't seem like something I needed to worry about right now. I was talking about the war itself. The battle for my planet and my people. The battle we were all but certainly going to lose. And that was the sick, twisted thing. We rush off into the void and vacuum of the black, filled to the brim with stories of glory, valor, and honor. Even then, though, as children with our feet pressed to the fire and foam coming from our anxious mouths, we knew the truth. It was right there in black and white, as unyielding and uncomplicated as numbers. We couldn't win this. We were kids swiping at shadows, and on the day when the shadows had enough of it, they would swipe back and end us all. Didn't mean we could stop fighting, though. No, if I had to give humanity credit for anything, it was for clawing and fighting its way into that dark good night. That was something I could get behind. Something I understood. I did what was right, I said from directly behind Mina. Even now, captured by the two uninjured elites and being brought to God knows where, we followed the positional protocol. Claire was in the front, Mina and I were in the middle, with Jill pulling up the rear. At least the three I had smashed around were so hurt they couldn't move under their own power. They'd been hauled off by a few normal walkies while we had been prodded off. It was some small comfort in all this. The bugs were silent, except for a noise or two passed back and forth between them that my suit still probably didn't recognize. Then again, the instant I'd passed through the open expanse where I'd fought the elites, my suit went quiet. I lost connection to the Alliance and perhaps to the entire battle suit. Not that I would try to attack. There was still a sword pressed against Jill's back. One wrong move and she'd be skewered. I couldn't risk it. You did what was stupid, Mina answered, frustration obvious in her voice. I gave you an order and I don't follow your orders. I already told you that, I responded. I saved your life. I saved your girls' lives. For now, anyway. I know that. Mina shook her head, exhaling sharply. Honestly, I appreciate it. But that wasn't what the mission was, and it wasn't what was important.
Maybe I disagree with you about what is and what is not important. I shrugged. Though something tells me we fall closer on that point than you'd like to admit.
What does that mean?